I want us to enter a season where we're going to discuss just prayer. So, a scripture in the prophet says that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So our fellowship with God, our relationship with Him should issue itself in prayer becoming, and I want to make this clear, a delight. Okay? That's our goal. We want prayer to arise from our hearts out of a desire and delight. It should be something we anticipate and relish and enjoy. Not guilt, not duty, not an obligation. It should be a blessing, not a burden. I remember being at a Bible study, it was several months ago, and it wasn't here. It was a Bible study in another church. It was a men's Bible study that meets at 6:30 in the morning. And the subject of prayer came up, and not a single man there expressed joy in prayer. Everyone expressed guilt or struggle or difficulty, and that should not be. We should experience just a sweet fellowship with our Heavenly Father in prayer, even in earnest prayer.
Amen.
So that's our goal. If we're going to talk about prayer, we're going to talk about prayer becoming a delight, something we long for because we enjoy it so much that it builds. The time that we spend in it builds because of the enjoyment we have in it. Just in simple, prayer is time spent with our Father. Don't think of it as just bringing your request. It's time. It's communion with Him. And I would hope that your Heavenly Father is the most special person in your life. You know, if anyone is closer to you than the Lord Jesus and the Heavenly Father, you remember what Jesus said? If any man loves father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. If any man loves son or daughter more than me, it's not worthy of me. It may not be this, and I want us to be honest. And we'll deal with it if this is the case with you. The Heavenly Father should be the most special person in your life. Because by the way, the persons that you love, He is the one who made them. You're only able to enjoy the other people you love because He made them. I mean, the person who makes them is more special than the person made. And He should be the person we delight to be with the most. And that's the goal. If it's not the case now, that's the goal. And because we want to spend as much time with Him as we can while we have the opportunity. You know, some of you know what it means to have your mother alive, or you remember when your mother or your father was alive and you took the time to call them every day, or every opportunity you had to be with them, you took advantage of that opportunity. Dina just lost her mom recently, but she relishes the fact that she was every day she would call to speak with her. That should be our heart. While we have the opportunity, we want to spend time with our Heavenly Father. If our heart is right, and if we're that's the goal. We should be drawn to be with Him. This is something our hearts should long for. We should desire this time with our Father. And I'm not going to be ashamed to say, I believe it's meant to be the highlight of our day. God forbid that Hollywood is more entertaining than time with our Father. God forbid that some movie producer can produce something that's more exciting and more stimulating than time with the Creator of the universe. That's just sad if that's the case.
Well, I hope that you would at least grant that depends on the movie. Like last Saturday, they showed the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, those are good. Yeah, those are sometimes
a beautiful movie.
Right. Well, in general, I would just say this. We need to make sure that our relationship with prayer, our attitude towards it is, well, it's not, it doesn't do that much for me. And these other things, because think about it. Some of us know exactly what time of the day your favorite program comes on. And you are there in place, ready to watch it without anybody telling you. No one has to, you don't need a call from the pastor saying, okay, you need to get in your place now. Your show's about to come on. You know, because you know, you do what you love to do, right? And so if you love prayer, it's something that you will be doing. That's, it's going to be shown. And so the goal of this is getting our hearts prepared. Preparing our hearts, whatever needs to be done in our hearts, so that this can become our normal. Luke 18:1, and we need to understand the statement that Jesus made. And he spoke to them, his disciples, a parable towards the need. It, the Greek word there is, can be ought, you should, but it just means towards the need to pray at all times and not to give in to evil. It's a difficult word to translate. To not give up or not be despairing or not become discouraged. But literally it just means that evil wears you out. Yes. And why would the last statement, it's interesting, why would he say that not only it's important, we need to see the need to pray at all times and not let evil wear us out. Why is that? Well, let's think about it. I think the devil fights harder to keep us from experiencing fellowship with our Heavenly Father more than he does anything else. Because once the fellowship with your Heavenly Father is sweet, the things you once thought gain, now are going to be counted loss. Your whole value will change. You will now appreciate things that you did not before, and you will know, you won't want anything to do with certain things that you actually enjoyed before. How many of us kind of know when trash day is? And kind of listen for the trash truck. And when we hear it, we stand at the front door and kind of forlongingly look as, and just kind of sad to see the trash go down the street. Because I'm sure there was some more enjoyment we could have had with that, you know. That's the attitude. Some people look at the things they need to give up. Like there's something in this world that is that better than fellowship with Christ and the Heavenly Father. Paul said, the things I once thought gain, I now count loss. I even count them to be rubbish. That's what he said.
Yes.
And when we count something rubbish, we put it in the trash can and we don't mind giving it away. It's no loss to us. So, but when the devil knows that when we become close with our Father, we're dangerous. Because now, when we're tempted and we're tested and we're tried and things become difficulty, we go to our Father. When that becomes our response, he has lost a major ability to hinder us from becoming stable and just and abounding in the goodness of God. Because what he wants to do, and you need to understand this ahead of time, if prayer is not something you now enjoy, think about it. If this is something you are going to pursue experiencing, anticipate some difficulty. It's not just going to happen overnight because the enemy does not want you to discover sweet hour of prayer. That's something he'll fight against. I want us to say this song. Well, let's sing this song together if you remember it. Because this is our goal. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and often
escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer.
We want to be able to sing from our heart that same, feel the same way this hymn writer did about. It should be something that we love, a part of the day that we love. And it, again, if that's not current, that's why we're talking about this. We want, and the goal of study about prayer is not, well, let's study the thematics and the mechanics of it. No, let's consider it in a way that all of us will be motivated, encouraged, strengthened to experience a greater intimacy and fellowship with our Father in prayer. Now, God is spirit. So time with our Father is going to be time in spirit. I want you to think about that. In spirit. We have body, soul, and spirit. But God is spirit. So if we're going to be in fellowship with Him, we are going to have to be in the Spirit. Remember what John, how the book of Revelation opens? I, John the Apostle, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Yes.
We are told to pray in Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. So prayer, sweetness of fellowship with our Father, is going to be in spirit. So that's where the sweetness of prayer will happen. You will enter the spirit of prayer. The Bible talks about a spirit of grace and supplication can be poured upon a person. The Spirit can come over you in a way where in prayer, in spirit, it just goes from maybe an effort to effortless. From a struggle to a rest and a sweetness and an enjoyment. Guided thought and prayers that flow from God and you somehow becoming one. And you are experiencing His heart and agreeing with Him in acting in people's lives. This is another song. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. And the reason I have this here is because I want to talk to you about the lady who wrote it. She was a housewife doing dishes in New Jersey, looking out her window. Not some person in a monastery. Not some person on a spiritual retreat. A person doing the ordinary, everyday things. In spirit. You can do dishes in spirit. You can do laundry in spirit. You can drive the car in spirit. You can cook in the kitchen in spirit. It's not like that's you're doing that and you're not praying. No, no. You need to learn to live in spirit. Because God is spirit and He's not way out a million miles away in heaven someplace. Spirit is a dimension. It is a realm. And if you are sensitive and in spirit, the nearness of God is right there. And the activity you're doing, it's more your awareness and it's more of your focus. But revelation and communication takes place when we are in spirit. Here's the difference. Sometimes you pick up your Bible in the morning and you're reading and you're studying. And I think some of us know this. The time you're just reading.
Yeah.
And then there are times when it's just like the scripture seems to be opened. And you see it. You understand it. It becomes something that grips your heart. It's something that brings joy and peace and direction, and it's something that it just time flies. When you enter that and the word becomes alive, it's no longer the mechanics of you having a devotion. It's not you reading the chapters that are in your Bible reading program so that you can get through or catch up a day. No, this can happen while you're doing that. Because sometimes I like to start my day in the scriptures. And I'm reading, and I just start reading until I just sense, here's the Spirit. And then suddenly my mind gets led, filled, and directed to go wherever God leads it. And it's just it's a wonderful thing. Revelation and communication takes place when we're in the Spirit. One of the things that, an example of this, Paul tells Timothy, in Timothy he writes him some instructions. The hardworking farmer should be the first to take part in his crops. And no soldier serves at his own expense, you know. And then he says this, meditate on these things, and the Lord will give you insight. It is in the place of meditation, in the place of in spirit, where words that we read are suddenly revealed truths to us by the Spirit. It's a mystery. It's deeper than just information. Yes, brother.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
You're not interrupting.
The revelation communication that takes place, I've connected with the words of that song that has a very special place in my heart. Several years ago, it was probably the early 80s, I had a male relative that had molested and mistreated me and physically and otherwise. And for years, I had this unforgiveness in my heart. Even though I was trying to serve God, love God, God brought a revelation to me in a dream, and I was standing in front of a little travel trailer singing that song to this man, and there was another man traveling with him. And that man that had mistreated me, which is the kindest way I can put it, began to weep. And I told my mother, because my mother knew who this other person, man, was, she said, Gary, that man, who was a relative, and another man were in a little travel trailer going from Houston to Dallas, and I was unaware of it at the very time I had the dream, and I was singing that song to him in the dream, and he began to weep. Wow. 2 weeks later, he got saved.
That's in spirit.
And that was a revelation.
Yeah. These things are beyond your mind taking information from the page. You know, some people, that's all Bible study is to them, is their mind trying to take information from the page. That's not revelation. Revelation is when God reveals the truths of that are there. Yeah, there are facts on the page or truths on the page, but the depth of the truth, the fullness of it, the implication, the application of the truth is something that takes place in spirit by the revelation of God. So how do we get in the spirit of prayer? Do you realize it's something you can learn to enter in the spirit? To seek, because once you begin to taste it, once you begin to experience this, you will enjoy it more and more. Well, the simplicity of it is, we draw near to God. God is spirit, right? We're drawing near to Him in spirit, and then He draws near to us. Now, isn't that interesting? He's already everywhere, right? He's not far from us. What's it saying then? What's it saying? You mean God can be closer to you than He is now? Yes. This is intentional. This is, I want to be deep with you. I want to be intimate with you. A husband and wife, or with one another throughout the day in the kitchen, in the living room. They're doing their things together. They're riding their car together. But the most intimate time takes place in a private place. And you can be closer together than you are just being in the same house. So intimacy with God, the nearness of God, can be deeper, more profound, more beautiful by you intentionally drawing near and Him recognizing. He's responding. You are desiring Him. He responds and draws near to you. And don't we do this? Don't we anticipate special times? You know a friend is coming in town? You know someone's coming over to the house? Don't you know this? Don't you do this? Don't you get ready? Don't you kind of get things ready? Don't you get yourself ready? Did you anticipate it? Because you know the friend is, you can talk to him by phone, but there's something special about them coming over to spend time just you and them. And most of the time when we do that, there's certain things that happen naturally, right? We get ready, right? We get ready. Think about it. We want the place to be right. We look around. Is there clutter around? I mean, if they're coming over to the house, you know, I want it to be nice. You know what? You're drawing near to God. Do you look around? You look around. Is there anything there? Anything out of place? Anything you said? Anything you're doing? Anything that needs to be taken care of before He comes? We just do that naturally when it's a special person. We just do it naturally. And we want the time to be right, right? It's not just any time, whenever. My wife is trying to connect with our grandchildren in Canada, and so she FaceTimes. There's times it's a useless effort. Because they're not tuned in. It's just the wrong time. They're not focused. You know, there's too much going on. You know, to communicate with someone, you know, all of us who are married knows that there's certain times you want to try to talk to your spouse, and there's certain times you might as well not, because they're not there. They're not there. They're not fully focused. And so to enjoy depth of conversation, to really get on the same page, to really connect on a deep level, you make sure the time is right. Sometimes you even prepare for it. You set a time. You anticipate a time. And most of the time, we want our appearance to be right. Like, if I'm going to meet someone, I mean, I may not care. I may not comb my hair all day, but if I'm supposed to meet someone, I pull out the comb out of my pocket. And there it is. I care a little bit how I look like if someone else is going to see me. That should be in our heart towards our Father. We anticipate. We want Him to be able to look at us and see we have anticipated being with Him. We're ready. We're not all disheveled. We're not all undone. We've anticipated to be with Him. We want the atmosphere to be right. We don't want it to be distractions. You know, when you have parents and you have children, sometimes the atmosphere is not right just because there's too many people around. Do you see why Jesus would withdraw to a lonely place? He would get away from his disciples, away from the questions, away from the needs, away from things to do, because He wanted the time with His Father. He wanted the atmosphere to be right. And in reality, we already do this for what we consider special, don't we? Don't we? I'm not talking about anything unusual. When the more special the occasion is, the more effort we put into it. Mm-hmm. You know? I know that in my family, you know, if we have company, our house is at the best it is. You know, we're not trying to maintain a museum, but we put a little more effort if company's coming. Right. It's just we want it to be special. And the more special the occasion is, the more effort we put into it. So this preparation is very intentional. It should be driven by desire, not guilt. It's desire driven. You know, we're anticipating a special time. And you know what we do? We naturally devote ourselves to preparing for special occasion. It's just something. We make the time to make sure we get it done. It's something that's natural to us. And that's important to recognize, because if prayer time is not just as natural, there's a disconnect somewhere. There's a disconnect because God is a person. And spending time with Him in sweetness and fellowship can be closer than Him being with you just all day. Prayer is an intimate, deeper, more personal time with the Father than just walking throughout the day. And once you have begun to devote yourself to prayer in this way, it becomes the most special time of your day. It really does. And it's a goal for all of us for that to be. So, how do we prepare spiritually? We know how to do it naturally for our special friends that we have, for family and friends and neighbors. But how do we prepare spiritually for a time of prayer in spirit? How do you get ready for it to be in spirit? Okay, and I don't want to throw you a curveball, but you know what this involves? This involves getting your body and your soul ready. Your whole person, you got your body, soul, and spirit. And your body will affect your prayer time. Your soul will affect your prayer time. You've got to get your body and your soul subject to your spirit. Your spirit needs to be in control, dominant. And your body and soul need to subject themselves, submit to your spirit. And you know what this will involve? Training. Training. This is called self-discipline. And you know what self-discipline leads to? Self-control. Because you know what our body and soul are if we're not trained? They are spoiled brats. That's what they are. Your body is like a child. Or your soul can be like a child that demands your attention. No. You're not going to pray. I'm hungry. You go to prayer. I think I'll get a drink first. Or you'll go to pray and you think, did I check my email? These are real things.
Yes, yes.
These are real things.
Yes.
And what happens is people that don't train their body and their soul to be still have a very difficult time entering into spirit. You have to train your body to be still. So I recommend to you, find a place where you're comfortable. Some people, if you pray on your knees, you get uncomfortable pretty quick. You're in so much pain, you're shifting, and it's almost a distraction. Find a place where you can be still without falling asleep. Because, look, you got to train your body to be alert. But that involves time. Look, if you wait till midnight, I'm going to be still. That didn't last long. You didn't pick the right time. You did not pick the optimum time. You need a time when your body can be still and your soul can be quiet. Your soul is your emotion and your mind. And you know what you're going to have to learn to do with your mind? You're going to have to gear your mind down. You're going to have to shut it down. David said this, my soul is as a weaned child. Why did he give the picture of a weaned child? Well, if a child is not weaned and a mother holds it near her chest, it thinks, eat. And it's demanding. But a weaned child just wants to cuddle and be close and lay there still and listen to the heartbeat of mom. It's beautiful when you can just enjoy your child like that. Oh, that we could let our father just hug us like that. Because we're still, we're not squirming, he can draw near us and we can just experience the sweetness of his comfort.
I think it helps also because the Bible says that wherever our treasure is, there our heart will be also.
Yeah.
So if our treasure is with the Lord and with prayer and with meditation and all that, our heart will be there.
Right, and that's the goal here, to discover this treasure.
Yes.
To realize it's there, because sometimes we don't know what we're missing. We get used to a distance. Come on, husbands and wives know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
You kind of live with the distance, and just you don't hate each other, but you're just not connecting either. You know, it can be the same with the Lord, that you're just not connecting with Him in a beautiful, in just enriching way. So we must learn to train our body and our soul to be still, to cooperate with our spirit. You know, don't think that's strange. Aren't we to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? Sure, your body is important. We need to stop thinking that there's anything evil about the body. God made the body. We have to function. There's very few things that you do that don't involve your body. And your body can be redeemed, experience the renewal, even as your soul. Your body just has to be trained. And Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. If by the Spirit we put to death the practices of the body, we'll live by the Spirit. So there are practices of your body, like it being spoiled child and not letting you experience stillness. That can be put to death. And your body, your mind, your emotions can become quiet. In the spirit of prayer, you can enter into spirit and your body, without your body and your soul spoiling it. And you can experience a stillness prolonged time where you have no desire to be anywhere else. You're not thinking about anything else. You're not thinking about where else you have to be. It's just, oh, you've entered into the presence of your Father. And it just kind of, time in the world is suspended. It's almost like an isolation chamber that in spirit where you get to experience this. Let me mention that the condition of your body, just so we can understand some of these things, training your body. The condition of your body affects the quality of your time and spirit. For example, if you stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning watching something that kind of caught your attention, and you have to go to work at 8, so you're going to get up a little early so you can have your quiet time. At 6:30, after having gone to bed at 2 o'clock, it's like, I'll be quiet before the Lord. No. No, your body can't handle that. You got to take care of your body. You want it to be rested, fed, settled, right? Settled. Get your body settled. Pick a time of the day when your body is at its peak. At its peak for your time.
Sir? You said earlier that we're supposed to live as a sacrifice or something. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, the sacrifice is something that we're to consider our lives to be especially here for God to use. Here for God to be known, to be pleased with. And that's the idea of a sacrifice. Sacrifices are made to please the gods. So what Paul is referring to there is our lives should be, Lord, here we are. We want to be pleasing to you.
Yeah.
Yes. We want this to be special to you. What we do, what we say, where we go, here we are. We're available to you. That's the idea of it. So, for your body, I want you to think. Because we're talking about learning to get in spirit. So what you need to do is you think about your body. When is your body at its best? Are you getting enough rest, by the way? Do you burn the candles at both ends? You know what? Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Late to bed and early to rise. Oh, come on, guys. No one does well in that. Your body will wear out. If you're not getting adequate sleep, your body is not going to be in prime condition. Anytime you get still, you're going to go to sleep. You're going to get drowsy. You need to get adequate rest for your body. You need to eat right for your body. You need to be in good health because your body affects your spirit. Okay. Tired, worn out, drowsy, uncomfortable, sick. Those are all body things, aren't they? And those will all hinder being in spirit. It will all hinder being in spirit. What happens with your body will affect what happens in your spirit. What about your soul? We have to teach our soul to cooperate with our spirit. In your soul, are you agitated? That's in the soul. Irritated? Upset? Depressed. That's in the soul. Distracted. The soul. You know what? Much of music, video, or visual, audio, visual, is to the soul. And a lot of us feed our soul with continual noise. Just continual noise. Noise, noise, noise. Radio, radio, radio. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, or those guys, whoever they are in the morning here in San Antonio. Hola, San Antonio!
It's just like, I still remember from growing up, you know?
You know? It's just constant noise. How many of you run the TV even though you're not watching it? You just want it on because you want noise in your house. How many of you are that way? Okay, see? See, that's your soul. You need to train your soul, ladies, to get love quiet. Quiet. No noise. Yes.
You know, one time I was reading prayer requests, and this gentleman asked for prayer for his back. You know, he mentioned he's done everything, every doctor, medication, mm-hmm. procedures, all kinds of stuff. And so people started telling them, you know, okay, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. And then one person came up and said, you need to stop watching violence on TV.
Heard in the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, in the spirit, so many things take place. For our soul, this is an area, all of us, learn to quiet your soul. Your soul is probably the most spoiled child there is. And you know who spoiled it? You have. You spoil it. You give it its noise. You give it its music. You watch. You give it its favorite program. You know, you pamper it. And then you wonder why when you go to prayer. You know, your thoughts are just constantly going everywhere. And it's so awkward. How many of you feel awkward when it's just nothing? Just cold and quiet.
Yeah, I do.
A lot of people do. You know, Moses waited outside the presence of the Lord 7 days.
Yes.
We don't even know that when he went up the mountain and he was there on the mountain 40 days. When he went back up the mountain, he waited at the edge of the cloud 7 days. And then God spoke. Man that God spoke with face to face. God is not in a hurry. And you know what sometimes? God will just wait to see, do you really want him? Or is it something else you're after? God, okay, I'm gone. You didn't really want him. You had to get your little prayer time in, or you had to get your something off your heart. He knows.
And we, I have discovered that this is very intentional. You, if you discipline your body to be still, and you discipline your soul to be still, your mind gets quiet. You learn to take thoughts captive. And you seek one thing. And you get focused on one thing. Then you'll get in spirit. You'll enter into the spirit of prayer.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is within us. Mm-hmm. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So why so much contention if the Holy Spirit is already within us? Why all these troubles?
We have another spirit in us, the law of sin. And it produces all kind of desires. The flesh lusts against the spirit.
But the spirit of God is much more powerful than the law of the flesh.
He is. But you know how the spirit operates? The spirit never overpowers us. He leads us.
Yes.
And if he drug us, we'd like it, right? Come on, let's go, Emily.
How are we going?
No. He doesn't do that.
I think the problem the Apostle Paul addressed to the church in Corinth was, even though they had these spiritual gifts, they were carnal. Yeah. And that's it.
See, they had not become strong in spirit. One of the things it says of the Lord Jesus and John the Baptist as they were growing is that they were strong in spirit. And I think if that's the case, if they had to become strong in spirit, it's possible that maybe we are weak in our spirit. And our soul is overpowering our spirit. Yeah. Yeah. This is why we're talking about a period of training, self-discipline, but this is the beauty of self-control. Controlling yourself. The ability to be still. So that you can draw near to God with your body alert, awake, and still. And your spirit, your soul, that is, your soul calm, quiet, and yielded. You're in control. And you're drawing near God, and you're going to enter in spirit. It's a training process. But I believe it's something let's learn to do. Let's learn to do it together. We need to do it. And if I'm your shepherd or under shepherd and the help from the Lord, I believe this is His grace to you. I believe this is on my heart to help us all experience a deeper, richer time of prayer. And so we need to address these things. If you have an opportunity and you want to talk to me afterward, there is some on the internet, on YouTube, there is a person that you can throughout the week listen to, and he talks much about this. He speaks about this, and so you can get it, you can hear it even more. Because if this is just the first time you're considering it, sometimes it's a lot to process. But are you getting the basic idea that in order for us to enter in spirit, our body and our soul have to cooperate? And that may just involve a little bit of training. You know, think of a child. You know, a child is used to playing at home and playing, and they come into their kindergarten class or they come into the first grade, and they're a little bit wiry. But what does the teacher do? The teacher trains them to sit in their chair and focus their attention and hush your mouth and keep your hands to yourself. And a child can be trained. You can train your body. You can train your spirit to be in the best position to experience
praying in spirit. The believer who does not train or discipline their body and soul for the purpose of godliness is going to find it difficult to enter into the spirit of prayer because of the lack of discipline, the lack of training. It's not that God doesn't desire it. It's just that your own soul and body, you've let your own soul and body rule your life too long. And this is something about prayer. You're going to see right away, the easiest way to enter into the spirit of prayer is to walk in the spirit throughout the day. Because if you learn to do this in prayer, you can learn to walk in the spirit throughout the day. Keeping in step with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, hearing the Spirit. And then the more you become aware of the Spirit in you, you're led from within. You don't give in to your body and you don't give in to your soul. Do you realize that there is a world of communion in your spirit that doesn't need external noise? It doesn't need noise from the radio. It doesn't need a program from the television. There is a world of spirit that you can experience in your spirit. Meditation, reflection, memory, scripture memory, things that you can do in your mind and in your spirit that are as entertaining, as refreshing, as beneficial as the external things that come to you. Christian radio is good. But you know, the Bible says sing and make melody in your hearts. That's where they're doing it from, right? The person that is singing you the song, where did they get it? They got it in their spirit. What are you getting in your spirit? Do you ever get songs in your spirit? Do you ever get sweet meditation and revelation in your spirit? Be glad that someone else is. But are you going to get baby food all your life? You know, like, here you go. Let's open the jar. Open wide. Open wide. Here you go. You know, yes.
Oh. To the body of Christ, like what his testimony.
Oh, it is. It
that,
is.
That's an example. That testimony of a miracle happening, and you realize the more in tune we get to hearing his voice, you know, he can do things like speak to us of the need.
Yep.
And call for a time
yep.
to work.
It, yep.
It's the potential is more than just this relationship that he longs for us to have.
Yep.
It is a potential of healing to people.
Oh, it is. Because God is a connector. And if you are sensitive to the moving of His Spirit, He can connect you, He can prompt you, He can lead you, He can guide you in ways that the timing is incredible. That someone else recognizes, wow. Wow.
And,
yes.
Brother here, brother right here.
Yeah, you mentioned about, what was it about babes on male
prayer? Yeah.
I thought of Hebrews 5.
Yep.
It goes into chapter 6 about, though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you still need to be taught, and you're not on solid food, you're on milk, uh-huh. and it says, let us go on to perfection.
Yeah.
So part of the issue is a lack of maturity.
Yes. Right?
And this is what I'm actually doing, is going back over some of the basics. Because that's what it says that people need.
Yeah.
These are basics. Our bodies, our souls need to be taught to be still and to submit to our spirit. And at least consider that all this, the availability, your the whole world on a cell phone and 5 million channels for $180 a month and, you know, a gazillion radio stations are all, maybe it's all designed to keep you listening to noise. Some even good noise. so that you don't discover the quietness and power of spirit. Yeah, Rudy.
The maturity is gradual.
Mm-hmm.
Is gradual.
All right. But it's also intentional.
Yes.
Not automatic.
Gradual.
All right. I understand that. Yeah. But you will not gradual anything if you don't intend to.
Well, of mm-hmm. course.
Well, but this is where discipline. If you don't intend for your body to learn, to get ready to be in spirit, it's not going to happen.
No, because we are talking of maturity, and it's not like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be mature.
But Rudy, the root is, if you should have been mature already, then you didn't get the gradual. You didn't graduate. You're still in kindergarten. That, so I'm dealing with the root. The root of it is, if you don't seek, you won't find. If you don't ask, you won't receive.
Yeah.
This is what another part of disciplining ourselves is, denying yourself. Because it is a part of how you grow, is you realize something. You know what? I'm addicted to noise. I'm addicted to noise. I'm addicted to just activity and stimulation and going and going. I need to change something. Yeah, Danny?
My problem is black lighting.
Yeah. See, this is, but what we do that is when we give in. This is lack of training, because every time you chose to backslide, the Spirit was there saying, no, 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 Janie, no, 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 no. Right? See, the more we enter in spirit, the more in sync we are with the Spirit, the more we grow into that, and that bond becomes strong, I guarantee you that the fellowship I have with the Lord is so much deeper than years back. And that the depth of that fellowship, the world doesn't appeal to me. I don't miss the news. I don't miss TV. I don't miss it. I found something better. You can get to this place to where your spirit is craving the Father. Yeah.
Pastor, I'm just curious. You know, you talk about speaking in the Spirit, being in the Spirit. Where does speaking in the Spirit and speaking the Holy Spirit in tongues fall in this?
It can happen. It is a gift that happens when you're just so in communion. It just this.
So this can happen in prayer.
It surely can.
And worship.
It sure can.
Okay.
It sure can. It says that a person utters mysteries in their spirit. Yeah.
One of the things, like what you're saying, is the Lord has shown me a long time ago, it's dying to self. And with the illustration, how the Lord showed me was like a horse that is wild, and if it's not, if the rider can't handle it, you know, but we as being like the horse, that if we submit to the rider, which is the Lord, and if we go by his leading, we can be more useful.
Right.
If we're just doing our own thing, right. Yeah, exactly. That as we die to self, it's not my will but thine, then God can use us.
Have you ever watched a video of a horse whisperer, how they break a wild horse? Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing they do is they put it in a small corral. They limit it. Let me tell you what I encourage you to do. Start limiting how much time you spend in front of the TV. Start limiting. Start right now. Limit it. Limit it. Start. Come on. Turn it off. Turn the radio off. Start limiting. Put it a shorter time in there. Yeah, your phone. Yeah, whatever you do. Yeah, I hear. I see. Limit it. Because one thing. And then if you've seen it, If you've seen the videos, what they do is they come up to the horse because it's a small place. They force it to turn. They just by going up, it forced to turn because it's a small space. And then they go other way. They just approach it, forcing it to turn. And gradually, the horse gets used to, that guy makes me turn. Just, you know, this is something you do to your soul. You do to your body. Limit it. Start weaning it. Start training it. Okay? It's just training.
Let's say that I have a favorite television program.
Okay? Just in theory.
It is a decent program.
Okay.
It's not. It doesn't have to do with lust or with sex or with. Mm-hmm. No. It's a decent program. If I watch that program because I get something out of it, does that make me less of a Christian?
No. We're not talking about what the enjoyment we get necessarily from things that we like. But what we're asking is our time with our Father as rich, as enjoyable, even more so than any of that? You know, if you are experiencing that, good.
I'm glad you're touching on this, Pastor, because when it comes time to prayer, you can always sense when you're asking for prayer, when you ask somebody in your room for prayer, and it takes over 10 seconds for somebody to raise their hand, something is wrong.
Yeah, something wrong. You know what? Honestly, a lot of times when we ask someone or someone says, would you pray about this? We say yes. How many of us actually follow through and do it? Sometimes you say yes because it's the right thing to do. And it's like, no. I believe the Lord wants us to grow in this area. I believe that prayer and time with our Father needs to be a key part that we are all growing in together. Together. We're not here to condemn anybody. We're not here, again, the point is not guilt or obligation. Now, part of recognition of our need, sometimes we have to see how we are. Oh, wow. We've got some progress to make. We've got some growth to achieve. That's the goal. And let's see where it goes. But let's begin with the steps. Okay, just understand, train your body. Train your soul and start weaning yourself from noise. Get disciplined about your body so that you have peak energy, because when you're worn out, it's difficult enough to stay sober and sharp when you're fully energetic and you're good. When you're worn out and you're not getting a good rest, you're drowsy, you're weak mentally, it's even worse. You think Satan says, oh, well, I won't pick on them because they're kind of tired today.
Pastor, I thought of Moses when he had to have too much on his plate for ministry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pastors and pastors' wives that are burned out and they're weary. And they need to learn to delegate to the deacons and the other people in the church to carry part of that load, especially as a church.
Amen.
And Amen. You know what a lot of them have done, Gary, is they've substituted their fellowship with the Father for activities. And they call that serving the Lord. And they just dry up. You know, you remember that song? Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. You know, if you're continually being filled with the Spirit, you're going to be a flame, you know, a flame for God. That's the key. I know we're running past. So, let me just finish with just a couple more slides. Personal discipline, when you understand it, is just merely training our body and soul to submit to the leading of the Spirit. And neglect of this training will hinder that freedom in prayer that we're looking for. Let's look just at one area of establishing a habit, because remember, if you get your body in shape and you get your soul weaned from being the need for constant noise, you can form a habit of stillness, a habit of quietness. Jesus had this habit in regards to prayer, didn't he? Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. No disciples to ask questions, no people seeking to interrupt him for their needs. He got away from everything so that he could draw near to his Father. And his Father would draw near to him, and his day would start off right, because he only did what his Father told him to do. And he only said what his Father told him to say. And he didn't get all that information up front. He started his day. You know, remember the old radios that you'd have a dial? Remember how... Hello there. You know, when you finally get it right, let me encourage you, part of entering into spirit and prayer is like adjusting your spirit in sync. And suddenly the signal is there. Remember the old phones, you know, one bar? You'd have to... I lost connection. Bad signal. Our prayer life is a lot like that sometimes, isn't it? Oops. The line went dead. You go look for a higher ground or getting closer to a tower. Listen, strengthening your spirit boosts your signal. Signal strength. You don't lose focus. You don't lose the time of prayer. You don't suddenly find yourself in the middle of a thought and it's gone. That's building up in spirit. I encourage it to be in the morning. But you know what that means in the morning? It doesn't need to be that way, because if you're a night owl, then you may, your peak for your body and your soul may be at night. Amen. You know, that may be. But that's your morning. Listen, that's your morning. That's the beginning. That's when you're at your peak. Yes. But here's why I like for me in the morning, I wake up, I'm fasted. I haven't eaten for hours. My digestive system is shut down. You know, when you're digesting food, 60% of your blood is involved in digestion. So you don't get as much blood to your brain. That's why you get drowsy in the afternoon when you eat a big lunch. So in the morning, with my food, with my digestive system shut down and a fresh cup of coffee, I am at mental peak. I'm sharp. And it's quiet. Whatever that part of the day is for you, that's the goal. Peak alertness. Peak, your energy is right. You're not... Listen, don't give God the scraps. Get everything you did get done, and let's give God some time today. Here, Fido. You know, here's... And then it doesn't work out very well at all. You give him your best. Give him the best of your strength, the best of your sharpness. Give him the best. And then get in sync, strong signal, and begin your day. Begin, or just whenever it is. You know, and the Jewish day began in the evening, by the way. Yeah. So it didn't even begin in the morning. Yeah. So it just needs to be peak for us is what it is. What can we learn from his example? Preparation, self-discipline. If I want my time in the morning to be effectual, I better go to bed by a certain amount of time. Right? I mean, isn't it obvious that we're supposed to get 6.5 to 7 hours sleep at least, right? Then it's a decision. If I choose to stay up later when I know what I have time to give up, I'm not being disciplined, am I? Preparation involves discipline. The place, the time. Do we choose the best time? And do we prepare for it? The undisciplined person says, I can't because of my body. I can't.
I can't.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't because you haven't tried. You haven't tried. I shouldn't say you haven't tried. You haven't succeeded in training your body and your soul, okay? All right. So, lack of the training of the body and soul will result in the natural man dominating the spiritual man. And that results in a carnal Christian. That's what a carnal Christian is. It's not that he's not in Christ. He's a mere infant in Christ. But his natural man dominates his spirit. He just hasn't progressed very far. God designed his creation with order. You notice it? Order. They can predict the sunrise in minutes consistently. Okay, so discipline and order just involves training, involves understanding good order. Okay? All right, we got it?
Yeah.
All right, thanks.